Greetings, mobile accomplishers. Welcome to the second Mobile World Congress 2011 podcast from your friends at the Smartphone Experts Community of Sites, Android Central, WP Central, Crackberry.com, WP Central. We might even talk a little bit of Nokia Experts.
I think you said WP Central twice, but I appreciate that.
No, just once.
What's a Nokia?
Yeah, well, it's a Windows phone. At least it will be later this year. There's no iPhone news here, but iPhone is sort of hovering over the entire event. But we're not going to address it other than to say go check out tippy.com and look at all the iPhone Nano rumors. But today was a mix of Windows Phone and Android, but we're going to shake things up a little bit. It has been, how long has it been, Dan, since we put a podcast up on WP Central?
About 4 months, actually.
About 4 months.
So because of that, we're going to be starting off with the Windows Phone news as throwing a bone to our audience there.
It was a big day.
It was a very big day. And I think it was a day that surprised many, including myself. You know, we knew today they were going to have the keynote with Steve Ballmer.
Have we introduced ourselves?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, so we got Phil Nickenson here with Android Central, Dieter Bowen with Pre-Central, also our editor-in-chief. And then, of course, myself, Daniel Rubino with WP Central.
Malatesta.
Sure. Anyways, Steve Ballmer did the keynote, and before the event actually happened, we started getting rumors that they were going to announce new features. Now, of course, we knew copy and paste was coming along with the performance enhancements. Interestingly enough, though, they didn't even really talk much about that today, outside of the fact that they confirmed the beginning of March as the release date for that update.
Oh, Dan, did you say that was late?
Yeah, this is technically late. I mean, the update was rumored to be coming around January and then got pushed back again to February. We still don't know really the story behind that outside of the fact it was pushed back. It's sort of unfortunate. But now they've committed themselves to a date, so I'm pretty positive that we'll definitely see it then. So that update will be kind of nice. It's a small update, though. So the bigger news that they talked about today was what's coming down the road, and that's coming, according to them, in 2011. Now, let's hope that they can keep to that schedule.
Isn't most of the stuff hitting in March, though, I thought?
Yeah. First couple weeks of March, they said, right?
No, that was just the first update. That's just the copy, paste, and performance enhancements.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were getting multitasking.
No.
That's going to be later, and they hedged that. It got a little muddy, because at first it sounded like March. And then they kind of backed off that a little bit.
No, the NoDo update was always a clear update. It was a very small.
I have a question. Why do they call it NoDo?
Oh, it's for no donuts.
And why do they call it NoDo?
Because they're making fun of Android.
No, actually, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No. It was confirmed that it was basically someone was assigned to bring donuts to a meeting, and that person didn't.
No, that's like a Nissan commercial. I saw that.
No. I don't think
it did. See, I thought it was a joke about how Donut was a really crappy Android update, and they weren't going to have a crappy Windows Phone update.
Yeah, but to be honest, as a first update, this is pretty. It's
6.1 or 6.5 or 6.3.
Moving on.
All right,
but I mean, the NoDo update is a small update. It's more, I think, a test bed for them to roll out this update, and it's bringing copy paste as number one feature, but it's pretty small. The supposed Mango update, which is the bigger one that's coming later in the year, is the one that's really going to bring the new features. This one's also rumored to be called, Windows Phone 7.5, but that's probably just internal build number. I doubt they're actually going to call it that.
But in 45 seconds or less, tell me like the basics of a Windows Phone update, because I live in update hell in Android. Because some people get them, some people don't, and they all pretty much hate it. So, like, what's the mechanism? Is it going to be just a huge pain in the ass, or...?
No, ideally, it's all going to come through the Zoom desktop client. It'll just be pushed directly to the phone.
So you'll get not over the air, but through the Zoom desktop.
You'll get the notification through the air, but then you'll have to actually connect it up to the desktop app and sync it over. And it'll actually back up the phone while it's doing it, and you can actually roll back the update in case, for some reason, it doesn't work or crashes your phone. You can literally go back. It's sort of like the restore feature on Windows.
I don't have a problem with that, because the Zoom client is still just awesome.
Yeah.
As long as it rolls across all carriers within a month.
No, so the way they said, they actually said today that everybody will have it within like the first like 2 weeks of March.
Right.
And so they made it sound like this isn't going to be spread out over weeks. So everybody should have this in time. Now, that's all kind of interesting. I'm sure we're excited getting it, but I think the big thing is the new features introduced today, which was, IE9, which is a big deal. They're literally bringing over the desktop browser to Windows Phone, and more importantly, the hardware graphics acceleration, which is really impressive.
Yeah, people were asking, what do you think, what are you most excited about? And I would say, I'm most excited about IE9. And everybody's like, what, really? But the Microsoft guys were like, thank you, because nobody cares about it.
Well, but, I mean, that's not a consumer facing like kernel and
listen
in engine.
Windows Mobile back in the day was always 5 years behind every other browser,
yep.
And with Windows Phone, it was always that was like the sore spot for me. It's like you're bringing all this awesomeness, but your browser is still based on this old version of IE, and it's terrible. But IE9, the cool stuff that's happening is one, modern rendering engine. It's still not WebKit, but it's very good. Two, standards. It does really, really well with just basic HTML5 web standards.
Right.
And three, and this is what Dan touched on most importantly, is hardware acceleration. This is a fairly big deal that the CSS and CSS transformations are hardware accelerated because it means that stuff that you do in the web browser can basically feel as fast as stuff that you do in a native application.
And they gave us a demo of this fish swimming around this like aquarium kind of screen. And
I'm sorry, that demo looked specious. I mean, there was just something like the other browsers can't be that poor compared to IE9.
Mobile browsers? I think so. I think it's totally possible.
Really?
And
Hardware,
I mean, Dieter, you're the browser expert
I'm not. This is like the thing that Palm, they're spending all their time on is getting CSS hardware accelerated. So like that for them is one of their number one goals for WebOS 3.
We saw the same thing at I/O when they said, here's the new Chrome engine we're bringing into the browser and to Android, and here's how it looks compared to Safari on the iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously the other one would look like crap. I mean, they wouldn't show it otherwise. I mean, so I'm sorry if I'm a little, you know,
everybody's getting ready for the app market to not be the big thing in the web to come back again, and that won't happen until there's enough support for CSS acceleration, and nobody wants to be caught behind that curve if it happens that way. And for in the history of the entire company, much less in the history of mobile.
In the history of the world.
Microsoft is at the front of that curve, and that is incredibly impressive to me.
Yeah, and I think it actually looks really nice. The other big thing about it wasn't so much what they told us, but what they didn't, and this was about Adobe Flash.
Yes.
Now, Adobe Flash was promised to be in the first 6 months of Windows Phone 7 launch, and then it sort of went quiet. And even we sort of forgot to mention it. It just sort of disappeared. And today they didn't mention it at all either. And so there was, I don't think Flash support's coming. I think they literally just moved on from it. And with the new IE9 and HTML5 and the hardware acceleration, I don't think they need it because the way they demonstrated with the video support, it's going to be able to handle video directly, correct?
Where's Silverlight?
The websites are covering it. Yeah, no, where's Silverlight?
Silverlight, I'm pretty sure, is not built into it. I think they weren't going to use it.
Well,
for
it is for apps, but not in the web browser.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Right. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a significant update. And then, I mean, let's see some of the other stuff. Multitasking would be the second biggest one. I was even surprised that they brought this up and then they actually demoed it. And I'm really impressed with it. But, well, Dieter, you talk about the multitasking.
My first thing I'll say is that the word multitasking it's really hard to pin down anymore when it comes to mobile because everybody says they do it. And everybody does it completely differently.
Yeah.
So Android has stuff running in the background. WebOS has stuff running in the background. iOS doesn't really, but kind of, but not really. And Windows Phone sort of falls in that same space. So basically what you do is you hold down the back button to pop up a task switcher, or you hit the back button to go back to the home screen or whatever. And your app instantly goes into hibernation, a fast freeze or a fast sleep. It's also called tombstoning, I guess.
Right.
But it's much faster now than it used to be. And then when you go back to that app, it can relaunch itself very quickly. So what used to be a quit and then a relaunch that can take just as long as the first launch happens much, much, much faster.
But it can still call data while it's in hibernation. Well, not vast amounts of data.
The second part of it is, so that's fast app switching, and that is what iOS on the iPhone does. But in addition to that, there's other services or like background services that these apps can do when they're not in the front currently running. So, Dan, correct me, like Windows Phone can do push notifications for apps that aren't currently running, right?
Right, of course, yeah.
And those go to the live tile?
Right.
Okay, so Windows Phone already offers push in the same way that iOS does. They're offering fast app switching, they're offering a music service where music apps can register themselves as, I'm a music player, let me keep playing when you leave me.
And that's going to be huge for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that people want. And they are also offering, what am I missing? Well, we heard from a Microsoft guy that they're going to be able to periodically wake themselves up and go grab and pull in data. So, for example,
poke their head up, look around, you know, is there anything out there I need?
And pull it in. So, if you quit your Twitter client 6 hours ago and then come back to it now, it won't look 6 hours old. It'll actually have fresher data. But I mean, the thing you need to know is that multitasking on Windows Phone is very similar from what we can tell. I mean, this, you know, we may have had smoke blown our eyes, but it looks like it's basically the same thing as multitasking on the iPhone, which is to say it's not technically quote unquote true multitasking, but it is so close to it and good enough for it that most people won't care. And it's a huge improvement on battery life and a huge improvement on stability over the alternative, aka what we see on Android.
Right.
Graphically, and I know you disagree with me here, graphically, I think it looks like Palm Cart. Palm.
I think it looks like WebOS cards.
Yeah. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
So, Dan, how do you bring up the task switcher on Windows Phone?
So you're going to be holding the back button down for like 2 or 3 seconds. Right. It's sort of like how now you hold down the start button to bring up the voice commands. It's going to be this similar type of function.
And then what pops up?
It's going to be like this screen that looks like it's whatever color your accent color is. It'll be the background. And then there will be almost little cards, sort of like WebOS. And those little cards are going to be little images of whatever that app is.
They show you the most recent state of the screen of that app.
And then you can slide from left to right to each app.
And that's what WebOS does, right?
Yes, and it's also what the Playbook does.
Android does it now, too, in Honeycomb.
How does Android do it?
In Honeycomb, that's exactly what you get. Same thing. Interesting note, though. Matias Duarte, you know, formerly of Palm, now with Google, one of the things he fought to get rid of in Honeycomb was kind of the lag between you push a button and you have to hold it and wait for something to happen. That is something he fought against to get rid of.
Interesting.
In Honeycomb.
So. I'm actually all right with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
And it's just a curious thing to see that that's what Microsoft is going
Well, Microsoft really wants, I think Microsoft considers multitasking and bringing up this little list of cards to be an advanced feature. I think that they want the default use and for most people to use it the way they originally designed it, which is
hit
the start button to go home, hit the back button to go back, and, you know, hit the search button to search, and that's it.
Well, it goes back to how many apps can you use at once? I mean, you have a 3-4-inch screen, whatever. You can only do so much in that real estate at one time.
Well, yeah, but I think people, you know, really want to be able to switch between their email and Twitter client.
Switching is one thing. Most recent apps is really useful to me.
That's one of the things that iOS actually hits pretty well, and even though I don't like their multitasking implementation. Now, there doesn't seem to be a way to quit apps in Windows Phone.
There's no big X.
But there's no big X. There's no little tiny X in the upper right-hand corner. But it's not really necessary because basically they don't get to do much when they're sitting there in the background.
And also this was unfinished code.
Yeah.
So this isn't, you know...
That was very cool because that's something that Google's kind of done the past year or two is like show you stuff they're working on that's unfinished.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see Microsoft do that because most of the time they roll it out and then But now they're showing it to us before it's not even finished.
As the WebOS guy here, I do kind of want to bring this up. Is everybody saying that, you know, now Windows Phone, before it's Playbook, Honeycomb before that, even Mego before that, they're like, oh, they're stealing it from WebOS. Here's my thing. If you are going to offer a list of your most recent apps that you had open, you're going to multitask in some way. As I see it, you can either show the icon, you can show a list of words, or you can show a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for most people, the screenshot is the most compelling thing. So if you're going to have a list of screenshots, you either are going to stack them in a grid, you're going to stack them vertically, you're going to stack them horizontally.
Like cards, sure.
Right? Or like cards. The fact that all these things look a lot like WebOS, on the Playbook, on BlackBerry, it's totally a ripoff. But on Windows Phone, I honestly have no problem with
it. And they also do it in Windows 7, too. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hover, I've got a Windows 7 laptop here. When you hover over an open icon, an open browser, you get a thumbnail of the state.
Well, in fact,
you get it live.
That's a little bit different.
Well, it's a little bit different, but you still see the state.
What about the window control with tab?
Right.
And brings up the card view, basically.
It's the same way in Android and Honeycomb on the tablets.
Having said all that, I'm actually really happy with the way they demonstrated the multitasking. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually kind of answers all the problems I've had with task switching. And so I'm pretty happy with the way it's laid out. I like how it's implemented. I like how it operates. It's actually very fast. I mean, they showed us, they launched two Xbox Live games and had them running and were able to pause and switch between apps and go right back. And it was instant, you know, back to the game. There was no lag whatsoever. And for, you know, our audience who knows about Xbox Live games, they tend to be, you know, the big ones. They take a lot of memory and a lot of GPU. And so the fact it was that quick and the memory had no problems with it, you know, I was actually pretty excited about that. So
after the event, you got to talk to Andy Leaves.
Right, yeah. And so there was a little question and answer period. And so some questions came up regarding a couple things regarding language. They're going to be filling...
Like, shut your mouth?
Or? No, like language support on Windows Phone, because there's a lot of countries that don't have it yet. There's something around like 45% of the world's languages right now with Windows Phone, but they're going to bump it up to 88% by the years, and which is a pretty significant jump.
That's very important. One huge complaint we get on Android still is Arabic support, and proper Arabic support. Yeah. And they've gotten a little better about it, but they're still missing proper Arabic support.
So yeah.
Don't underestimate that.
And they're going to be fixing keyboard issues with other languages. That's going to be something on their roadmap. I asked about the Chassis 2 development, which for our readers who don't remember, Chassis 2 came out... it was, I think, ZNet reported Mary J. Foley talking about this was a new design that they were going to start bringing out hardware. It was going to be a landscape screen, but it was going to be smaller, sort of like BlackBerry, and it was going to have support for front QWERTY devices. So these were basically BlackBerry Trio phones running Windows Phone 7. And to be honest, I was actually expecting to announce something about that today. And when I asked Andy Leaves about it, he said, no, we're not announcing anything. And then he kind of hedged a bit, saying, listen, the larger screen devices have been commanding the market more than smaller screens. And he says, it's not that we're not doing Chassis 2, but right now their focus is on these big screens. I think with, you know, that's one thing we've seen so far at Mobile World Congress is bigger screens. Both Samsung and LG have introduced new Android phones of both 4.3-inch. Which is sort of the sweet spot that HTC has been riding for the last couple of years, too. And 4.3-inch, it's, for some of us, it's a little too big. I actually like Samsung's 4-inch. I think it's perfect.
Yeah, 4.3 is just a hair too big.
Yeah. But the fact is, it's these screens are dominating the market. And so as much as I would love to have a Trio Windows phone, I think we have to wait a little bit longer for that. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally skipped over Kinect.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll go back.
Yeah, go back to third.
Oh, I had a really good segue to that, too.
Well.
Save it for later. You guys, forget I said that, because the segue is going to be awesome. Right now, Dan's going to keep talking about...
micro SD cards. Yeah. So this other issue that I know our audience is curious about.
Why can't that issue go away?
Yeah, the micro SD card thing is still nagging, and it's a little... I don't know. A lot of people are going to be getting back to me on this, which is sort of disappointing. But when I talk to SanDisk, SanDisk reps, I can't, you know, hold them to know everything that's going on. But they were, you know, were unaware of this issue with Windows Phone. They said they never heard of it. Now, of course, they're just, you know, they're a little lower on the food chain. I'm not talking to the CEOs of SanDisk. So they're going to get back to me on that. Then when I talked to some people at Microsoft, some knew about it, some thought that they already had taken care of it, and then others said, oh yeah, no, that's something we're still working on, but they don't even know the status of it. So it's a little disconcerting. This seems like to have sort of gotten lost. You know, in fairness to Microsoft, they have a lot on their plate. They're doing a lot of different development right now on the platform. And I think the micro SD thing honestly sort of slipped their minds or just fell off the priority list.
I got that feeling too. They're like, oh
yeah.
It's like that email in your inbox that you meant to reply to like a month ago, and you're like, ooh, that's still there? Damn it.
It's like whole, no, the whole WP7 SD card thing is the biggest cluster F of like the past year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
That is a basic function of any smartphone. You've been doing this far longer than I have. Has anyone screwed that up as badly as this has been screwed up?
Oh, probably.
Name one.
I don't know.
Okay, then. I win.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that they should have been more stern with the OEM, saying that if you're going to use a micro SD and...
You've been really hard on HTC about this.
No. I mean, it works. It's the problem is it's... If they're going to support it, the reason that they don't support you swapping the micro SD cards is because it acts as a single memory when you add it. So you have to hard reset the phone when you add a new micro SD card. So they're not hot swappable.
Yeah. See, if they had just told manufacturers, hide the micro SD card under a piece of foil, period, this whole problem would have gone away.
Because
the hardcore hackers would have figured out that they could do it. They would have run into problems. Because, that's what you get for, you know, tearing open a piece of foil. But instead, what we got was
a OEM mixed message.
Yeah, mixed message. And that was the problem. If they had just said from the get-go...
You and your meddling kids and your micro SD cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was the Samsung with their Focus, which is a great phone, but they put the micro SD right there in the back. So it is a little confusing. It sounds like it's still not straight now. I have people going to be getting back to us. Hopefully, maybe this will even push them to come out with that list. So
they need to come out with that list.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Microsoft Connect on Windows Phone 7. Gimmick or something else?
Well, I mean,
your segue?
Well, it was
we
better.
Were waiting
it was
for that.
It was better earlier. You interrupted it.
Man, damn it.
Well, I mean, that almost depends on your view of Connect. If you think Connect's a gimmick,
well, we got to explain what we saw.
All right, Microsoft Connect. If you don't know, is like this space-age camera that shoots out of your Xbox and can see you and record your movements and loosen your teeth as you sleep.
And it does audio too.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a very cool thing. It's motion detection, so you can play games without a controller. But now they're bringing a controller back into it.
No. It's not a controller. It's a. They only demonstrated one sort of game.
It's like a proof of concept.
Right.
Yeah, and as I explained to Dieter and Phil, like, I almost don't care if people like what they saw with the Xbox Kinect and that game.
The proof of concept was you've got this game where you're standing there and you're looking at a tunnel on the screen. And balls are flying at you, and you gotta bat them and kick them away so they don't get past you.
Right.
But then the innovation was there's this screen on the Windows phone of the wife sitting on the couch, and she had the stick figure of her husband playing the game, and she could tap on the screen to determine where the balls come flying out of the tunnel, and then she could tap really fast, and then her friend could come over and they could tap really fast, and there was something kinky going on, but whatever, and then he couldn't, like, stop the balls from flying at him, and he landed on the couch.
You know what it reminded me of? Nintendo Duck Hunt, when you can pick up the second controller and control the duck.
Yeah.
It's exactly
like
that.
Seriously, like, they when the game was over, and the two women looked at each other, they laughed like that dog. Me, me, me. It was awesome.
But as I was saying, like, I mean, I almost don't care if people think this is a good game or whatever, because it's...
It was terrible.
Because right now it's not.
Yeah. I mean, the point was, and this is the big news, Microsoft made the connection between the importance of...
They realized they have these two awesome products.
Yeah, they made a connection between Kinect and Windows Phone and have figured out a way to sort of bridge those two.
Yep.
I mean, this is just one little game demo. It probably won't even see the light of day, but it's going to give developers on the Xbox platform and Windows Phone games a new avenue to explore.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those areas where at first, some of the games probably, just like the Kinect, the first few games probably aren't going to be that good. It's going to take a while for people to actually hone in on how to make good apps for this.
But a phone that can talk to the Xbox directly and display data that the Xbox sends to it about the game that is currently being played directly, and they like all that control happens, boom, boom, boom. You basically have got a touchscreen Xbox controller that's also aware of whatever else your phone is aware of. That could be really, really killer, and that's what's like so intriguing about it is... Even as good as job as they did with Xbox Live and Xbox integration on Windows Phone, I feel like we all still think that they haven't quite finished the job of that integration yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
My one worry, and this is from watching, you know, a pre-production demo of something that might never, ever, ever end up in your living room, was I'm looking at it and I'm seeing somebody playing something on a 50-inch TV and somebody else looking at a three and a half, four-inch phone. And there was just something wrong about that.
I tell you what, I would love if you played Madden. You know, back in the day, was it the Dreamcast that had like a little screen on the controller?
I don't remember.
No, Nintendo did this too. You could use a DS or a Game Boy Advance or something to talk to a GameCube.
Mm.
So if you're playing Madden, you would want to pick what your play is, and you'd want to scroll through your plays and stuff.
Right.
You could do it on your controller so the other person that you're playing against couldn't see it.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of different ways. They could possibly use the camera for augmented reality. Oh. They probably use a microphone. So there's going to be like the gyroscope features of the phone itself. There's going to be a lot of different things they can do with this.
Oh, man, like Song Hero, whatever it's called. You don't have to buy, you know, the whole kit. You buy the game as a downloadable content game, and then you just sing into your phone.
So it'll be interesting to see what APIs they open up for game developers to be able to actually, you know, use this stuff. It'll be a work in progress, but I think, like I said, the connection that Microsoft has finally made between the two is what the real important news is there. So we'll see how that develops. I guess the other thing...
It's like they realize that they own a factory that makes peanut butter in one room and chocolate in the other room. Right. And then somebody ran into each other
in the hall.
Yeah, opened the door. Oh my God. What happened?
This
here?
Is really good.
Some of the other little news they mentioned was SkyDrive support is going to be getting bigger. It's coming. Yeah, it's news, but hey, it's 25 gigs.
Well, no, here's my problem. This is a problem I had a year and a half ago.
It's all tied into the Office Hub. It's all documents.
Well, it's Google Documents. This is something I thought Microsoft should have done
as they were wrapping up 6.5 and moving into Windows Phone 7, was they have this ecosystem of Windows Live, and they still are not properly pushing it. They need to market the hell out of that thing to get people to use it so that they will properly get into the Windows Phone ecosystem.
And it is a mess.
Yeah, but it's getting a little bit better. And I think, you know, offering users 25 gigs of storage space for Office...
But nobody knows about it.
But yeah, they will. Dan, but Dan, the, but I think...
Do you use SkyDrive and Windows Live email and Windows Live services, or do you use Gmail?
No, I use Gmail.
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's partly because... some of those services aren't all integrated right now, and it's sort of
a work in progress. How much longer do we have to wait?
I mean, I don't know. It's. Yeah, I think
it's the right direction. How about that?
Yes.
As more people get Windows phones, they'll get these features and they'll start using it more. I mean, I actually like the new Live Mail. It's a little too late for me because I have a Gmail account. But to be honest, I'm getting sort of tired of Google. And so, yeah. You know, part of me wants to move away from that ecosystem. And there's a lot of people in our audience who I know have moved away from Google for that reason too.
Obey.
And Google Documents, you know, became kind of a big thing, but this is an exact competitor to Google Documents, so I think it's kind of nice. Oh, and I guess the other thing we have to mention is the Twitter integration. They didn't demonstrate that.
How does that work? What's the story there?
So the Twitter integration is going to work just like Facebook integration. It's going to go into the People's Hub. You're going to have, you know, a login. You'll sign in. And then for all the people in your contacts, it'll also show their Facebook and Twitter update status. It'll probably show their latest tweet. And then, of course, you'll have like probably a main Twitter application. I'll just show you all your latest tweets and for you to be able to update probably from even the home screen of some sort. Like I said, they didn't demonstrate that. They just mentioned that it was coming. I think it's a big deal. You know, we've actually seen an explosion of third-party apps in the Windows Phone market. Some are really good. And I think they'll continue to flourish because they always offer, you know, more options. I mean, even on Android, you have like the official Twitter app. On iPhone, you have the official Twitter app. But the third-party stuff is still flourishing.
And that works in Synergy, right? On WebOS, does it pull in tweets into your contacts?
Synergy, there are no Synergy services for Twitter on WebOS.
Really?
No.
Didn't know that.
So this is actually...
Big fail, by the way. If you're a third-party developer on WebOS, you should write a Synergy app for Twitter. And by third-party, I mean HP. Seriously, guys, what the heck?
By third-party, we mean first-party.
Seriously, just get it done.
But I think this is going to be like a really nice feature. It's something, you know, I don't use Facebook, but I do use Twitter. So I'm kind of excited about having all this stuff integrated into my People's Hub. And, you know, hopefully we'll see that. Now, the other cool thing that they mentioned was what they didn't mention is that there are other features coming with this big Mango update. Yeah. So they said there's other stuff. They're just not talking about it today.
Why Mango, by the way?
That I don't know. I'm not really sure about
that. Than Nodo.
I'm not even sure that Mango has been 100% confirmed as its name. But we can expect even more stuff coming. So this is really going to be a pretty huge update. And this is why I think some people are talking about there's only going to be like one or two updates this year because the second one's going to be bringing a lot of stuff to it.
I have one question. Any new hardware this week so far?
No new hardware. You know, I stopped by. I did a story this morning about this with LG. They had no phones on display. Someone asked the president of LG, in fact, about the Nokia deal with Microsoft and basically how they felt about
that. That was like the second question of the Q&A.
It was pretty, yeah.
Awesome. Like, hey, and we'll talk about this in a second, but hey, like all the stuff you just showed us was really cool, but...
Right. And it was a pretty direct question, actually, and it was really good. And, you know, what were they going to say? Screw Nokia? No, they said, you know, we have a relationship with Microsoft. We're going to continue that. When I spoke with some people at Microsoft tonight, they spoke highly of LG. They didn't say anything negative. And so they said, we're going to continue working with them. And basically said to Nokia, you know, we'll see what they can do. They didn't sound too concerned. On the other hand, they had almost all their phones on display today, even like their feature phones, non-smartphone things. And they didn't have one Windows phone available. Now, I did find an LG Windows phone, but it was in the Qualcomm section. So I even took a picture. I got to update the post about that. So, yeah, LG was a no-show. Samsung had their... was it Omnia 7 on display, which we got a video of. I had never handled it before. It's a really sweet phone. They only had six of them, but at least they, you know, weren't hiding their Windows Phone stuff.
No, they, I mean, they weren't, like, prominent, but they were certainly there.
Yeah, I mean, this show has primarily been focused on Android so far, and new 4.3-inch phones and tablets. So there isn't too much there. Regarding the other, you know, HTC doesn't even have, they don't have a booth, do they?
Yes, HTC has a booth. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have to check.
And I'll be at HTC's event by the time most of you guys listen to this. I'll have been there, and so we'll report on whatever we see.
But yeah, surprisingly, no new hardware, no Wave 2. You know, some of us were expecting them to announce possibly new devices coming out, but still, that doesn't seem to be the case.
I was expecting chassis too.
Yeah. Acer, apparently, according to Forbes, is still on the sidelines. Asus. Asus is still on the sidelines. They're a company that was originally committed, and they backed out. And they're basically using the feedback of Mobile World Congress to gauge whether or not they should jump back in. Now, having said that, everybody we talked to at Microsoft was ecstatic about the Nokia deal.
Yeah. No, yes.
You just bring it up, and they all grin and are just like, that's a great thing, isn't it?
I tell you what, Dan, let's not get into the Nokia stuff on the podcast here just now, because
we're not intelligent enough about
it. No, we are.
It's a whole other topic.
We're super smart. We could go on. We're geniuses. I mean, come on, Dan. Look at us.
Yeah, right.
Dan's wearing, what are these, pajamas?
I am wearing pajamas. I'm comfortable.
That's how you roll.
Do you spell those are like P-Y.
These are pajama jammy jams, actually.
Oh, jammies.
Yes, jammies.
Do they have feet?
No. No feet.
What I'm saying is,
how are you bringing that back to Nokia?
But we're going to do, and I'm saying this right now, WP Central Podcast is making a comeback, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to do, when we get back next week, a special edition Nokia podcast.
I'm pretty psyched about that. Yes, Dieter will be helping us in the podcast.
Dan and I, we're going to see if we can get Palm Solo, Matt Miller, who runs Nokia Experts, who's a big fanboy of both Nokia and Windows Phone. Come on. We're going to beg him. If you're listening, Matt, say hey.
Sounds good. We'll definitely do that.
We're going to get into that Nokia stuff, but the bottom line is, like, Microsoft is excited, and they claim...
And not just PR excited.
I can't get into it.
It's not just like, hey, we're talking to bloggers excitement. It's like, they're honestly excited about it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely good for Microsoft. They even said to... Same thing we had last night, which was, had they gone with Android... You know, it would have been sort of almost game over for Windows Phone. It would have been a serious blow to them. Yep. So it's a good thing that this happened.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about this
next. I know. We'll move on. Okay, so that's the Windows Phone stuff. We'll have more, hopefully, in the next couple of days. We have a couple of meetings set up with Microsoft, a big day on Wednesdays for developers. Brandon Watson will be there. We've been chatting with him lately, too. And so hopefully we'll gather some more news and little tidbits, and you can follow them on the blog. So let's move, unfortunately, guys, now to Android.
Unfortunately? What?
We're publishing this on, like, more than one site.
I love Android Central. I own an Evo. I have some.
I don't mean for us to, like, dominate these events, but it just kind of keeps happening that way. I mean, God, I would like to, like, take a day off maybe and enjoy the show.
Tell us about the LG Optimus 3D. I haven't even touched this.
All right. So this morning, Dan and I went to a LG's press event. LG is, like, all about three-dimensional stuff now. It was a Sharp phone. I forget what we saw at CES that had this weird screen that you could turn 3D on and off, like on the home screens.
Okay.
And it was janky and whatever. It works a little better on the Optimus 3D, and they're serious about this. I mean, they are dead serious about this. It's a dual core phone, but here's the other thing. It's not just dual core processor.
Sure, sweet. Can you turn off the 3D?
Yes. It's not like it's on all the time.
Right.
Okay. When you're looking at the home screens, it looks like a normal Android phone, so that's fine. But in addition to the dual core processor, it also has dual channel memory.
Yes, that is
the big thing. And I'm not a processor nerd and don't understand the ins and outs of that quite as much as I should. But their example was, you have a factory, and your factory has production. And if you ramp up production twice as fast and your distribution system is still half as fast, that's not going to do you any good. We've ramped up distribution or the memory twice as fast as well. So now it's really going to work. Yeah. And if you saw our hands-on with the phone, it looks plenty fast, sure. And that has as much to do with outputting all the video and all the 3D and the 1080p. It records in 1080p. It has 2 5-megapixel cameras on the back of the thing.
I wish they hadn't defined this thing as a 3D, because 3D on a phone is a company trying to solve a problem that I don't have.
That does not exist.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. here's my interpretation of it.
But
so
otherwise,
far.
The phone sounds really sweet. I just don't care about.
It's not 3D. A bad. Yeah, it's not a bad phone. I just don't care about 3D.
Yeah. I actually, you know, the 3D stuff I actually thought was kind of neat. I mean, yeah, we can talk about 3D is gimmicky, that's for sure. But if you're going to push a gimmicky thing, I think LG is actually doing it smartly. For one, because they're not relying just on producers to make content for the phone.
Yeah.
That's 3D. They're offering you the cameras so you can produce your own content in 3D. And they have a partnership with YouTube where you could upload this content. And it's circular, right? It's going to default. Everybody's going to be able to create content in 3D, and then it's going to come back to the phone. They're creating an ecosystem.
And so what happens if I shoot a 3D video and I want to send it to my grandma who doesn't have a 3D television?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think
watch it in 2D?
I don't think so.
Why would she want to?
That's garbage.
Get her into the future.
It needs to be...
Grandma, come on.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But like I said, they're creating between their tablet, which also could shoot, and 3D. You know, they're creating this sort of ecosystem, and it's a smart way to do it. Now, we could talk about whether or not... You know, it's necessary. When I talked to Microsoft, by the way, about this, they kind of rolled their eyes. They thought it was totally gimmicky. They said the dual core stuff, totally awesome. Yeah, but
God, the Windows Phone is if they could make it 1D, they would have.
Yeah, right.
Why?
Yeah.
It's like 2D to the max.
It's totally true. But I mean, now when we actually get to play with the phone, I have to admit, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
The phone is a good phone. LG, and I've been saying this for a long time, LG can make hardware.
Yeah.
For some reason, we just haven't gotten their high-end hardware here in the United States ever.
But they're really coming out gunning. I mean, they're saying they have these big plans to come back this year. And who knows if this stuff will catch on. But the 3D stuff, I was actually kind of like, this is kind of neat, actually. The games, you know, we saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works. You don't need glasses, and it actually pops off the screen. I think
some of it looks better than others.
Sure.
And, you know, we need to play with this more and actually sit down, like, at home and use it, not in a big convention center and stuff.
Right.
Because that really does make a difference. But what Dan said about the content is absolutely correct. And that is a problem that LG is addressing from the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, what good is 3D? What good is being able to watch stuff in 3D if there isn't any out there?
Yeah.
So here's a phone that you can take your own stuff in 3D, and you can watch it in 3D as you shoot it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool in real time.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Again, then, it goes back to the power of the phone.
You're going to export it to your 3D TV?
The idea, I mean, ideally, they want you to put it to a 3D TV, and then, you know, they want everything 3D.
Hey, guess what I'm not doing tomorrow? Not going out and buying a new LG 3D TV.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But even Qualcomm in their booth was pushing 3D. They have their own 3D processing that goes on, and same thing. You know, it's a thing that's coming. We'll see if it'll continue.
That's exactly it. I feel like 3D is like coming, but it's not ready.
It's still impressive,
even if
though.
This LG...
Yeah, but the idea that they're able to make a 3D phone without the need for glasses is kind of neat. I mean, it's never been done before. And so,
there's a bunch of little screens that'll work without glasses. I mean, there's a DS, you know, the Nintendo.
I think it might work better in the small screen than it does on the big screen.
Yeah, it doesn't work on the big screen.
Yeah.
We had that. We also
availability.
Yes. Sure, at some point.
Actually, they said it was May, right? April, May.
Did they?
Yeah, April, May. One was for the tablet. I think it was April, and May for the phone, or vice versa. No prices because it's going
to be... Thank God we had our Windows Phone 7 guy there.
Yeah, right.
I'm useless.
Yeah, so... No, that stuff it's coming soon, actually. I don't know. I think it's kind of neat. Yeah, so.
It sounds like a completely sweet phone, and I would shoot 2 3D videos so I can impress my friends and then never use the 3D features.
Could you imagine the naughty stuff that's going to come out from this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean,
sorry, I had to go there.
No. We've said that from...
I'm sold.
We've said that from the outset.
That
I mean,
literally had not occurred to me until just now.
Yes.
Now,
I said it during the press conference. Now, I was like, could you imagine?
I can think of nothing else.
That's probably what's going to drive the adoption of this stuff. I mean, that's what happened, right, with the high definition Blu-ray thing, right?
It was the porn industry.
Yeah.
Blu-ray TV.
Absolutely.
I think once porn adopts 3D, we'll all.
I really want to see that in. Okay, we're moving on.
Yes.
Yeah. We also got the Optimus Pad, which will also be the G Slate on T-Mobile at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, depending on who you ask, it's like. If you go to a T-Mobile, you know, Europe booth, they're like, no, we don't have G-Slate. What the hell are you talking about? Go see LG. And I forget who was telling me that tonight. But it's interesting. All right, so all the Honeycomb Android tablets that we've seen, Android 3.0 right now, are pretty much the same. So we saw the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10 or 10-inch or whatever they're calling it, which is basically a Motorola Zoom. And then this one's a little different. It's a different size. So instead of 10.1 inches, it's 8.9. which is in between, you know, the 10 inches of the,
I'm happy with that size.
The Zoom.
Yeah.
I want you to try it because you've used the Galaxy Tab 2.
Yeah.
The Galaxy Tab is 7 inches, and this almost felt a little awkward to me. Maybe it's because I'm not used to it, but it was a weird in-between, so it was almost a little too big for my hand.
Did you take a picture of, like, be careful with the shaking or something? You can't hold it in one hand?
Yeah, I had a hard time with it, actually. Yeah. And I have small hands, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's just me. But it was, it almost felt like a weird in-between. It also has 3D capability. The screen is different, so you don't get, and maybe it's what was we were watching. I need to go back and check this, but, you do need glasses with at least the content I saw today.
Okay.
But it will record 3D, you know, video. So it has the dual 5-megapixel cameras on the back and a 2-megapixel on the front. So you can do that. Back to the Optimus 3D real quick. It has a hardware button for 3D content. A dedicated hardware button that takes you to a 3D gallery that pops up in 3D and, like, rotates and has YouTube and 3D videos.
How many man-hours do you think went into all this 3D for these devices that could have gone into,
the good news,
Skype integration?
No, the good news to that is...
proper cloud storage.
The good news to that is too many. They didn't spend too few hours, so they didn't half-ass it.
Okay.
You know, they put some work into this.
That's really the good news that they think that 3D is what makes it compelling instead of
For better or for worse. No, for better or for worse, that's where they're throwing their money right now. And at least, you know, I'm glad to see that they're really putting something into it. Whether it takes off, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think it's a step better than, you know, dual screen smartphones.
Okay, I'll tell you what, by the end of the week, you guys need to make me into a 3D believer, because right now I'm a 3D hater.
I'm just saying...
I don't have to. LG does.
I'm just saying, for what it was, if you're going to push the 3D thing the way LG is doing it and the way it looked today, is probably the way to do it.
If you're going to push the pornography smartphone, then LG is doing a better job than anybody else. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Back to the tablet. I mean, is there anything that makes it stand out from the other Honeycomb tablets?
The screen size and the 3D capability, and that's kind of about it. Otherwise, it looked and felt like Honeycomb. They haven't messed with the UI at all, which I mentioned in some post earlier this week. I'm not sure if that means that they're not allowed to, or that they just can't yet because the code's not finished maybe, or what. But it's interesting that nobody has really done anything different. We did see a slightly different, you know, just arrangement. Somebody had some icons prearranged or whatever. I mean, that's no big deal. But, you know, we haven't seen any skins on top of Honeycomb yet. And it might be it's not done because the code's not final yet. The only SDK that's been released is pre-release. It's a preview. So I don't know. So we had that. What else did we have? You saw the Motorola Pro, which is the Droid Pro for Europe.
Yeah, it's a Droid Pro that doesn't have a CDMA and, you know, an EV next to the bar. It has a 3G next to the bar. Guys, it's a Droid. It's a Droid Pro. I'm done. That's the whole story.
I kind of want one.
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It's a great little phone. You know.
Yeah. You wouldn't play with Acer today. They had, and you actually said you were impressed by some of the stuff.
Acer's, every year I go to the Acer booth. That's like 3 times a year I go to the Acer booth. And I see a whole, like, you know, a half a dozen phones that I barely recognize. And I'm just like, oh, here we go. Looks like their skin got a little bit updated.
And they've been out there for a while, and we just haven't covered it, because it's not like U.S. carriers are picking them up. You can import them, but, I mean, but nobody does that.
I was interested in Acer this year because at CES, NVIDIA had a prototype Acer tablet, a 10-inch tablet. And we got a hands-on there. It was the Iconia Tab, I believe, the A500. And so I'm like, oh, let's see what if they've got it finished. And they totally do. It's not bad. It's a 10-inch tablet. It's got a brushed metal finish. It's going to be coming. It was announced at CES for Verizon, but it's also coming worldwide. There's also going to be a Wi-Fi only version. Right now, it's running, I think, 2.3, maybe 2.2. I wrote 2.3 in the post, which is what they told me, but I didn't quite believe them. And then they say Honeycomb is coming in April. Graphics are great because it's running that NVIDIA processor, runs those games just fine.
That's what's actually kind of interesting about all this tablet stuff. It's not so much that the OEMs are doing a good job making tablets and they're really impressive. It's just the fact that the internal hardware has gotten to the point where it can be small enough and thin enough where it can handle this both the speed and keep the device thin. That's allowed the OEMs to actually make sleek little devices now. I mean, that's why they all look kind of cool. The Samsung stuff looked really nice when I saw it last night. And same thing with the LG things. And so they're all like these small, thin, really nice looking devices. So it's almost not too hard now to slap Android on it, and there you go. And that's kind of like what they're all doing.
Exactly. And that's been a problem for a while, too, though.
And Acer, in particular, has never really... I mean, we've never seen them take off here in the U.S. Maybe they must do pretty well in China.
Better in Europe.
And better in Europe. But they've never gotten a ton of traction here. But, I mean, okay, so the Iconia Tab, the tablet, it looks pretty good. But it's obviously not getting the attention and the love that the Motorola Zoom is getting. Is probably going to have a hard time against the Samsung Tab, the 10-inch Tab there. So it's probably not going to get much attention. Another phone that's not going to get much attention in the U.S. anyway is one that I haven't even posted yet. They've got a Liquid series. They've got three Liquid phones, which are like just, you know, standard little Android smartphones, one that's got Ferrari branding, one that's small, and I think one that's a little bit bigger and faster. They're perfectly capable little Android slabs. But the most interesting phone they had was the Iconia Smart, which is, get this, a 4.8-inch screen. But when you think that, you're like, oh my god, it's like bigger than an Evo. That's crazy. And you're right, except that the aspect ratio is 21:9. So the thing is like 7 inches long and 3 inches wide. It's like this shard that you hold in your hand. And, you know, it looks fine. It runs fine. The screen is fast. You know, they've got their little Breeze UI that is okay. You know, I said they can't get no respect, and that's a little bit true, but they don't really deserve that much. But it's better. Everybody assumes it's complete crap, and it's actually moved up from complete crap to, like, you know, not horrible. They've got some neat little, you know, multitasking options and stuff on it. But it's a really crazy phone. You know, this thing that you could use it as a dagger in a fight. It's so long and thin.
Can you cut cheese?
Yeah, you know, not quite. They say it's unibody, and like when I shot the video, I was saying, yeah, it's a unibody design. I'm holding it, but it doesn't really feel like it. So the build quality, the materials aren't that great. They've got like this single button bar that's all connected on the bottom. It just felt a little bit janky. I don't know. I just don't know that. Are people clamoring for a phone in that form factor that's super long and super, you know, narrow?
If it does 3D porn, maybe. No, I don't think so. And I tell you, that was the other weird thing about that Optimus pad. It wasn't elongated, but it was just odd.
It was an odd shape. Yeah.
So that's about it for Android. Tuesday I'll be at HTC, so by the time you hear this, it'll be like 2 in the morning in the U.S. when all that news comes out. But we will be there and have all that. One other thing I want to mention, and I mention it here because it actually affects multiple platforms, Words with Friends for Android is now available.
Yep.
So you can play against your iPhone friends, or are there any other platforms out there that matter?
I think it's just the iPhone.
Yeah, it might just be.
I don't think it's on BlackBerry yet.
So
it's on WebOS.
And actually, we have a lounge set up in the forum so you can go find people to play against. Yep. And as soon as I get home, I'm absolutely hopping in there, and I'm going to kick your ass, every one of you. We're not. We'll
say Words with Friends.
You hate Words with Friends?
I'm awesome at crosswords. I suck at Scrabble. And so Words with Friends, I just get beat down.
I'm actually in Dieter's camp because we have AlphaJax on a Windows phone, which I use like crazy. But I tend to really get beat pretty badly by people. And it's really depressing. Like, I love it when a game starts. I'm like, yeah. And then about like after like 10 turns, I'm like,
I'll tell you what,
I can't do this anymore.
I will install Words with Friends again just so that you guys can beat me, because you totally will.
Sweet.
But if there's a competitive crosswords game, I will totally destroy you.
Briefly.
We've got BlackBerry's here. We didn't get Crackbreak Kevin to come along, but he's got his boy Ewan covering stuff for him. We know that the playbook is here and in force. They're showing a ton of games at their booth. Need for Speed and Tetris I saw specifically. It was really impressive that it, they just, like with all these, you know, new Android demos, they just plug the HDMI in, and what's on the big screen TV is identical to what is playing in real time on the Galaxy Tab. That's impressive. There's a new version of BlackBerry Messenger, which if you are into BlackBerry is worth checking out. They are integrating it into other apps better, and you should definitely head over to CrackBerry to look in on that. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't want to hate on BBM here because there's nobody here to defend it, but it's like the saving grace of the BlackBerry platform right now, in my opinion, until they can get QNX on phones. And what was the other piece of BlackBerry news?
Oh, speaking of QNX, I've sat down with the guys from Myriad today who do the Dalvik Turbo stuff. And basically,
oh, yes.
Basically, so, okay, make it so you, they do story, the yeah. Alien Dalvik Turbo, which came out last week, which basically lets you run an Android app on any device that can run the Alien Dalvik Turbo.
Let's explain it slowly. So Dalvik is the
virtual machine that runs atop Linux that lets you run
Java apps.
Java,
which
yeah.
is what Android apps basically are for the most part.
Sort of. And I get points for even recognizing it when the dude said J2ME.
Right.
I mean, we're way above my head, Jerry. I miss you, pal. So he would not tell me that, you know, something like that is coming to the, you know, BlackBerry in any way, shape, or form. And please don't take that as, you know,
playbook. Yeah.
Yeah. Or please don't take that as saying like, ooh, maybe it's coming just because they say it's not. I don't know. But, you know, like technically it's certainly possible. Just anything that works on was a QD, I think he was calling it.
Yeah. QT?
QT, yeah.
Really? Oh, that's an Nokia.
No. So I saw it, you know, running atop in N900.
Amigo, yeah.
Which they did in their demo too. But it was really interesting.
Well, they can get Alien Dalvik to run on Qt. Yeah, he's right. They can get it to run on anything.
Right, right. So that was kind of the...
Qt will run WebOS.
Right. So that was kind of the point of the question. Anything that... And the real purpose behind this, and it's like, it's not so much getting apps to run, say, on WebOS or on BlackBerry. Kind of the bigger thing is, say, set-top boxes.
Yep.
A lot of TV set-top boxes are based on this stuff. So instead of, you know, going like all Android for something like that, which is actually a pretty big undertaking, right? I mean, there are tens and hundreds of thousands of these things out there. You could just slap this into it instead, and then instead of porting over apps.
Yeah, so all the stuff that we're excited about is stuff that they're basically doing as proof of concept for PR for their actual
Right.
Right.
So the rumors about running Android apps on the playbook, I don't know yet. I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet somebody figures out a way to do it at some point, which would be pretty darn cool to see.
I still don't know actually what the playbook looks like.
Well, we're going to change that tomorrow.
It's a tablet. It's
yeah. I know. I haven't been following it all, the whole playbook thing with Rim. I don't know. It just seems like, okay. Sorry, that was not...
Phil, how about you stop like reading RSS and show us what else we're talking about here?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's more Android news we can talk about. BBM6, we talked about that.
Yep.
Playbook video. Hey, look at that. We've talked about everything.
Yeah.
Now that you're giving me a hard time.
There was a preview of the HP printer app on WebOS that wasn't functional.
I'm going back to my RSS feed now.
Oh my god. They showed everything last week for WebOS.
Right.
We're going to have a podcast on Precentral about that next week. But yeah, they don't have a huge presence here. They're drumming up, you know, interest from developers. And maybe we'll see them go into a bit more detail than they did last week, which was a little bit thin. Nokia's here. I saw them at the Pepcom event in the evening, and they basically were just standing there, just smiling and shrugging their shoulders. Here's what we got.
Hi.
And of course, we mentioned at the outset of the podcast, Apple is not here. They never are, but really, they are here because they are the shadow over everybody and everything that happens.
I have to go to the Google booth. I haven't been there. I've been in meetings all day, but apparently it's just awesome.
Yeah.
It's like two stories high, has a slide you can go down.
Yeah, I went to that. I actually walked into that room and was just scared because being a Windows Phone guy, I was like, oh my God, I'm in enemy territory. And it was actually kind of frightening. It was like, it's literally like a Disneyland for Android. Everybody's got these shirts on. It's just colorful green everywhere. And
it's
slides. And yeah, it's, hey, I mean, you know, kudos to that community for being so enthusiastic, but I felt like really like, what the heck did I just walk into? But you should take pictures of it.
They have smoothies like in all the flavors of Android. There's like donut smoothies and cupcake smoothies.
Yeah.
I would just want the Froyo smoothie.
Yes. I'm sure I want a honeycomb smoothie. Supposedly honeycomb smoothie is really good. So I'm going to go check that out. And I will tell you on the podcast what it tastes like, because there's no better way to describe something like taste than over the radio.
Did you ever listen to Splendid Table?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's a great show.
Well, there's a reason why I'm not on that.
Check it out, man. Catherine Lanfer, I think. No, that was somebody else. Never mind. Splendid Table is awesome. NPR. Check it out.
So that's it. That's like an hour of day one.
Yeah, it's day two.
Well, 1.5,
yeah.
Of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. We're in Spain. That's pretty cool.
Yay. It's what? It is 1:30 in the morning?
It is one. It's actually early for us for doing this.
Yeah.
But HTC is early in the morning.
1:30 in the morning. We're getting up in 6 hours.
Yeah, don't say that.
Thereabouts.
Like that. Yeah, which is actually 6 hours of sleep. That's awesome. We are totally responsible adults.
Who's today. Editing the podcast? 1, 2, 3. Not it.
Not it.
Oh, Rubino.
I wasn't listening. What was the question?
You're editing the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, good luck on that, because I don't know how to.
Hey, thank you all for putting up with the different OS versions that you had to listen to tonight. And I hope you sat through all of it. You really should.
Yeah. You guys are the best. We love you, and we want you to tell us that you love us. You should do it on Twitter. On the Twitter, Dan is Malatesta77. Phil is Phil Nickinson. I am at Backlon. Together, we are all smartphone experts. You know us as Android Central, WP Central, Crackberry.com, Precentral.net, TIPB.com, NokiaExperts.com. Who am I forgetting?
I don't know. Is there any other OS that we don't do?
Oh, we've got 7 sites, man. We got Trio Central hanging out.
How many phones have I had released this week?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to know.
I just want to mention that.
I just don't want to. That's every week for you, though.
I know. It really is.
The only difference is there's an event here this week.
It makes it easier, actually.
Yeah. Also, guys, Phil has a merge.
Stop it. I do not. Oh, God. Can you believe we've done like, no, there, all right, I did 2 stories, or somebody else did a story last night, and I did a story before I went to bed after posting the first podcast about the merge. I think Engadget did one tonight, and somebody sent me an email saying, Engadget posted the story about the merge. Where are you guys falling behind? Falling behind? I'm the only one who's touched the damn thing. there's no merge here.
Phil has touched a merge.
I have.
He has. It was a bad touch. Okay, sorry. Ooh,
what? Huh?
That was, man, the merge right. Story is hilarious.
We're going to bed. That's it, guys. We'll be back tomorrow, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Appreciate it. Dan, say goodbye.
Good night.
Dieter.
What?
Say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.